We're continuing chapter 30 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Called Grop.
It's called Grop. The final match of the Quidditch season, Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw, was to take place on the last weekend of May. Although Slytherin had been narrowly defeated by Hufflepuff in their last match, Gryffindor was not daring to hope for victory, due mainly, though of course nobody said it to him, to Ron's abysmal goalkeeping record. He, however, seemed to have found new optimism. "I mean, I can't get any worse, can I?" he told Harry and Hermione grimly over breakfast on the morning of the match. "Nothing to lose now, is there?" "No," said Hermione, as she and Harry walked down to the pitch a little later in the midst of a very excitable crowd. "I think Ron might do better without Fred and George around. They never exactly gave him a lot of confidence." Luna Lovegood overtook them with what appeared to be a live eagle perched on the top of her head. "Oh gosh, I forgot," said Hermione, watching the eagle flapping its wings. As Luna walked serenely past a group of cackling and pointing Slytherins. "Cho will be playing, won't we? Won't she?" Harry had not forgotten this, merely grunted. They found seats in the second to the topmost row of the stands. It was a fine, clear day. Ron could not wish for better. Harry found himself hoping against hope that Ron would not give the Slytherins cause for more rousing courses of Weasley as our king. Lee Jordan, who had been very disappointed since Fred and George had left, was commentating as usual. As the team zoomed out onto the pitches, he named the players with something less than his usual gusto. "Bradley, Davies, Chang," he said, and Harry felt his stomach perform, less of a backflip, more of a feeble lurch, as Cho walked onto the pitch, her shiny black hair rippling in the slight breeze.
He's getting over her.
He was not sure what he wanted to happen anymore, except he couldn't stand any more rows. Even the sight of her chatting animatedly to Roger Davies as they prepared to mount their brooms caused him only a slight twinge of jealousy. "And they're off," said Lee. "And Davies takes the quaffle immediately. Ravenclaw, Captain Davies with the quaffle. He dodges Johnson. He dodges Bell. He dodges Spinner as well. He's going straight for the goal. He's going to shoot, and..." Lee swore very loudly. "And he scored." Harry and Hermione groaned with the rest of the Gryffindors. Predictably and horribly, the Slytherins on the other side of the stands began to sing.
"Weasley is our king.
Weasley cannot save a thing. He cannot block a single ring." "Harry," said a hoarse voice in Harry's ear. "Hermione." Harry looked around and saw Hagrid's enormous bearded face sticking between the seats. Apparently he'd squeezed all the way along the row behind, for the first years and second years had just passed, had a ruffled, flattened look about them. For some reason, Hagrid was bent double, as though anxious not to be seen, though he was still at least 4 feet taller than everybody else. Wait, 4 feet. He changes size, doesn't he? Sometimes he's like 7 feet tall, now he's like 10 feet tall.
Well, he's supposed to be twice as tall as a normal man and three times as wide. That's the initial description.
But that's not what he is in the movies.
I know.
"Listen," he whispered, "can you come with me now while everyone's watching the match?"
"Sorry, I'm tired."
"Can't it wait, Hagrid?" said Harry. "Till the match is over?" "No," said Hagrid. "No, Harry, it's gotta be now, while everyone's looking the other way, please." Hagrid's nose was dripping blood. His eyes were both blackened. Harry hadn't seen him this up close since his return to school. He looked utterly woebegone. "Of course," said Harry at once. "Of course we'll come." He and Hermione edged back along their rows of seats, causing much grumbling among the students who had to stand up for them. The people in Hagrid's row were not complaining, merely attempting to make themselves as small as possible. "I appreciate this, you two, I really do," said Hagrid as they reached the stairs. He kept looking around nervously as they descended toward the lawn below. "I just hope she doesn't notice us going." "You mean Umbridge?" said Harry. "She won't. She's got her whole inquisitorial squad sitting with her, don't you see? She must be expecting trouble at the match. Yeah, well, a bit of trouble wouldn't hurt, said Hagrid, pausing to peer around the edges of the stands to make sure the stretch of lawn between them and his cabin was deserted. Give us more time. What is it, Hagrid? Said Hermione, looking at him with a concerned expression on her face as they hurried across the lawn toward the edge of the forest. Yeah, you'll see in a moment, said Hagrid, looking over his shoulder, as a great roar rose from the stands behind them. Hey, did someone just score? It'll be Ravenclaw, said Harry heavily. Good, good, said Harry distractedly. That's good.
Hagrid,
distractedly. That's good. They had to jog to keep up with him as he strode across the lawn, looking around with every other step. Sorry. When they reached the cabin, Hermione turned automatically left to the front door. Hagrid, however, walked straight past it into the shade of the trees on the outermost edge of the forest, where he picked up a crossbow that was leaning against the tree. When he realized they were no longer with him, he turned. We're going in here, he said, jerking his shaggy head behind him. Into the forest, said Hermione, perplexed. Yeah, said Hagrid. Come on, quick now, before we're spotted. Harry and Hermione looked at each other and then ducked into the cover of the trees behind Hagrid, who was already striding away from them in the green gloom, crossbow off for his arm. Harry and Hermione ran to catch up with him. Hagrid, why are you armed? Said Harry. Just a precaution, said Hagrid, shrugging his massive shoulders. You didn't bring your crossbow the day you showed us the Thestrals, said Hermione timidly. Nah, well, we weren't going in so far then, said Hagrid. And anyway, that was before Friends left the forest, wasn't it? What does Friends leaving make a difference? Asked Hermione curiously. Because the other centaurs are good and riled at me, that's why, said Hagrid. Glancing around. They used to be, well, you couldn't call them friendly. We got on all right. Kept themselves to themselves. But always turned up if I wanted a word. Not anymore. He sighed deeply. Friend says they're angry because he went to work for Dumbledore. Friend says they're angry because he went to work for Dumbledore? Harry said, tripping on a protruded root because he was busy watching Hagrid's profile. Yeah, said Hagrid heavily. Well, angry doesn't cover it. Ruddy livid. If I hadn't stepped in, I reckon they'd have kicked Friends to death. They attacked him, said Hermione, sounding shocked. Yep, said Hagrid gruffly, forcing his way through several low-hanging branches. You'd have the hurt on him. And you stopped it? Said Harry, amazed and impressed. By yourself? Of course I did. Couldn't stand by and watch him kill him, could I? Said Hagrid. Lucky I was passing, really. And I thought Friends might have remembered that before he started sending me stupid warnings, he added hotly and unexpectedly. Harry and Hermione looked at each other, startled, but Hagrid's scowling did not elaborate. Anyway, he said, breathing a little more heavily than usual. Since then, the other centaur has been livid with me, and the trouble is, they've got a lot of influence in the forest. Cleverest creatures in here. Is that why we're here, Hagrid? Said Hermione. The centaurs? Ah, no, said Hagrid, shaking his head dismissively. No, it's not them. Well, of course they could complicate the matter, yeah. But you'll see what I mean in a bit. On this incomprehensible note, he fell silent, and they forged a little ahead, taking one stride for every three of theirs. So that they had great trouble keeping up with him. The pass was becoming increasingly overgrown, and the trees grew so closely together that as they walked farther and farther together into the forest, it was as dark as dusk. They were soon a long way past the clearing where Hagrid had shown them the Thestrals, but Harry felt no sense of unease until Hagrid stepped unexpectedly off the path and began wending his way in and out of the trees toward the dark heart of the forest. Hagrid? Said Harry, fighting his way through the thickly knotted brambles, over which Hagrid stepped easily, and remembering very vividly what had happened to him on the other occasions he had stepped off the forest path. Where are we going? Bit further, said Hagrid over his shoulder. Come on, Harry, we need to keep together now. It was a great struggle to keep up with Hagrid, what with the bushes and thickets of thorn, through which Hagrid marched as easily as though they were cobwebs, but which snagged Harry and Hermione's robes, frequently entangling them so severely they had to stop for minutes at a time to free themselves. Harry's arms and legs were soon covered in small cuts and scratches. They were so deep into the forest now that sometimes Harry could see just Hagrid's massive dark shape in the gloom. Any sound threatening in the muffled silence. Any sound seemed threatening in the muffled silence. The breaking of a twig echoed loudly, and in the tiniest rustle of movement, though it might have been made by an innocent sparrow, caused Harry to peer through the gloom for a culprit. It occurred to him that he had never managed to get this far into the forest without meeting some kind of creature. Their absence struck him as rather ominous. "Hagrid, it would be all right if we lit our wands," said Hermione quietly. "All right," said Hagrid, whispering. "In fact..." He stopped suddenly and turned around. Hermione walked right into him, and she was knocked over backward. Harry caught her just before she hit the forest floor. "Maybe we just best stop for a moment so I can fill you in," said Hagrid, "before we get there, like..." "Good," said Hermione, as Harry set her back on her feet. They both murmured Lumos, and their wand tips ignited. Hagrid's face swam through the gloom by the light of the two wavering beams, and Harry saw that he looked nervous and sad again. "Right," said Hagrid. "Well, see, the thing is..." He took a deep breath. "There's a good chance I'm going to be getting the sack any day now," he said. Harry and Hermione looked at each other, and then back at him. "You've lasted this long," said Hermione tentatively. "What makes you think..." "Umbridge reckons it was me that put the Niffler in her office," said Hagrid. "And was it?" said Harry, before he could stop himself. "No, ruddy well wasn't," said Hagrid indignantly. "Only anything to do with magical creatures, and she thinks it's got something to do with me. You know she's been looking for a chance to get rid of me ever since I got back. I don't want to go, of course, but if it wasn't for the special circumstances I'm about to explain to you, I'd be leaving right now, before she got the chance to do it in front of the whole school, like she did with the Trelawney." Harry and Hermione both made noises of protest, but Hagrid overrode them with one wave of his enormous hands. "It's not out of the end of the world. I'll be able to help Dumbledore once I'm out of here. It can be useful for the Order. Anyway, you lot'll have Grubbly Plank. Yet, you'll get through your exams fine." His voice trembled and broke. "Don't worry about me," he said hastily, as Hermione bent to pat his arm. Harry pulled his enormous spotted handkerchief from the pocket of his waistcoat and mopped his eyes with it. "Look, I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't have to. See, if I go, well, I can't leave you without telling someone, because I'll need you two to help me, and Ron if he's willing." "Of course we'll help you," said Harry at once. "What do you want us to do?" Hagrid gave a great sniff and patted Harry wordlessly on the shoulder with such force that Harry was knocked sideways into a tree. "I knew you'd say yes," said Hagrid into his handkerchief. "But I will never forget. Come on, just come on a little bit further through here. Watch yourselves now, there's nettles." They walked on in silence for 15 minutes. Harry had opened his mouth to ask how much farther they had to go when Hagrid threw out his right arm to signal that they should stop. "Real easy," he said. "Very quiet now. Maybe we should stop." Okay, I'll continue next time. I'm very sleepy. I love you so much, kitty boo. Sleep well, kitty boo.